The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
Look out, because here it comes. I thought I saw it coming. I just had this ringing in my ears that said, here it comes. I know I hear it. I know it's on the way. Here it comes. And I'm telling you, in this event, in that event, and in all events, certainly in this event. What is it? I think it's this. Wait. In that case, in this case, and in every case, coming up. Probably one of the more serious things I ever did in my life. Without my pants. So come on, everyone. You will be there, and we will be there with you when you are there. What is it?
Cthulhu Chronicles.
Unlocked and loaded, unlocked and loaded, and yet cocked to fire. I am the godfather of the internet radio. I'm the godfather of the internet talk radio. I'm the godfather of internet live radio. So bow, kiss your own finger. I'm also the third man and the bard of broadcasting, and I am here. This is fresh. This is new. This is wonderful. This is a review. You be the judge. Stay with us. Stay with us. Ice cap to ice cap, from Hamlet to City, from Othello and into every bordello. We are loud, coming through loud and clear, as they say. When they said loud and clear in the old days, loud and clear, why would it be loud? Clear is enough. Coming to you clear, clearly, right here from the original studios, from the place where Cthulhu Chronicles began, from the place where at one time, no one who currently embraces and loves their interweb audience would dare to step. No one. Right here. And I'm still here. I'm like the Incredible Shrinking Man. And someday, you will not be able to see me, but I'll still be here. Because that is what it's like to shrink. You never disappear. My name is Frank Cthulhu, the man's name adorns the title of the show. And it's been a horrible winter, as it has been over the past, there's only one winter. It's been a horrible winter. There have been complications, but we're here. And you can hear us just about anywhere you can hear us. CthulhuChronicles.blogspot.com. And a bunch of things I'm telling you that whether I do a show live weekly or you get, you know, that wonderful mix of cloud, mix of stuff from cloud, if you're listening live at SRN MediaWorks, or you hear reruns on other stations, if for some reason or other there's not a fresh show, no matter what the case may be, I'm gorged. What's the difference between gorged and engorged? I am engorged. I am gorged. I'm just filled with so much stuff. There are so many notes. I don't plan. I never planned. But let me try to get through a couple of things. If we continue to talk through it, then, and we run out of time, although we never technically run out of time, really. But if we do, then we'll change our plans. They're not plans. Not plans at all. We'll just go along as we go. You know, I was, let me tell you this though, because as I said, there's no time limit. And I really want to say that in my own defense, that there was a president of the United States currently during this time. And I'm saying this for the people who make this a time capsule show, you know, put it on disc and then you bury it in your backyard, front yard, side yard, or someone else's yard. I'm saying that for this particular thing here, Y2K plus 19, I may add, and do add, and I should add, because if you're going to bury it, you should know what date is going on here. Someone heralding a guy named Rush Limbaugh, heralding a president of the United States, heralding this fellow, because he could speak for 3 hours and not, without a phone call. You try to do it, said the president, you know? I'll, you know, there are schmucks out there, whether they're presidents or not presidents, who don't understand that they could do it. But to give this Rush guy, I shouldn't even say his name, because then what happens if I say his name is I give him some kind of credence, a presence, and life, and you know, and revere. I don't want to give him any revere. I'll give him Paul Revere, and he could ride away with him for all I care. The point is that doing this, speaking for hours, without phone calls, and I don't even do, you know, commercial breaks. I mean, top of the hour, I may stop and run to the bathroom and put on a piece of music or a little promo or something, but, you know, I don't do that. But this guy, no, he's better. He's better. And he talks about the same crap for 3 hours. He doesn't move around, right? So I just want to say in my own defense, and not because I care to have the president of this current Y2K plus 19, you had to mention his name, because it's just ridiculous to mention a president. You know, but, you know, if he wants to listen to the Rush guy to talk about, you know, the same crap every day and complain and whine, then he can. But my point is that speaking for hours, is not something created by Mr. Limbaugh, Lingorged. See, I don't care what's appropriate or inappropriate when it comes to those guys. Okay? It's not. It hasn't been, you know, so you try to do it. Yeah, right. Telebroadcasters try to do it. I could do it. I've done 5 hours. And I don't even take credit for that, because men who preceded me, like Gene Shepard, in the 60s and 70s, they spoke all night, 6 hours. You know, just to stop to play the Jew's harp every now and then, okay? And commercials, man, I'm not doing it. So don't, you know what's stupid about this too? No one who cares is listening. Because everybody who's listening knows this. So why am I saying it? Well, I'll tell you, because I am like, did you hear that one? I am like the next guy. And it just pees me off. Pees me off? It peeves me. But, you know, what am I, yeah, you know, nothing I can do about it. Just get it out of my system. And if I'm going to get it out of my system, I might as well get it out of my system with my audience, right? Boom. Boom. I didn't create that either. That boom thing. Boom. You know, when you punctuate something you say or someone, right? You boom. And you have to use a fist and do that. But anyway. In any event, in all events, and certainly in this event, my name is Frank Cotolo. I'm the man whose name adorns the title of this show, Cotolo Chronicles. And any number of things have happened, like I said, this week that would allow me to speak all this time without a guest. But I am going to talk about a guest, because hopefully I'll tell you a couple of things that's going on, and then I'll tell you where I was at and some things I thought about, and then perhaps we will move into an interview that I really want to play again. And I hope we can do it on this show right here. Next week, if you're again, these things are, you know, I don't know when they're in order or out order compared to when you listen to them or rerun or whatever. Doesn't matter. But on February 28th, if we do live, and we hope we go live, that mystery guest I've been talking about for over a year, and I say over a year only because I started talking about it this person, I'm saying him or her, in 2018, my father would have been 100 years old in 2018. So I said 1918 because that's the year that comes to my mind. The Gen Z person who's going to come here and answer questions and be interviewed, not ridiculed, certainly not ridiculed, interviewed, and let's just say it's going to be like he's going to testify. Forget it. Okay, don't even try to find out the mystery guest. But the mystery guest was scheduled to come on when we had a car accident. Thank goodness the mystery guest did not get injured, just got another car. And a lot of things happen in life, as you know, as I know. Okay? I will be there. If you will be there, I got it. When you are there, look. So the mystery guest may, very good chance the mystery guest will be next week, which means, an hour and a half or 2 hours of speaking with the mystery guest live will be here in the original studio. There's been no other studio. The original studio for Cotolo Chronicles. And we're going to talk about that generation in reference to what we do, how we broadcast, what it means, things. Because we do have people from that generation. This is new to them, but it's new to a lot of people. So we'll see where they're at and how that affects and influences what we do. Because we don't have a bass. Boom, 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 boom. I do have one in my mouth. Boom, boom. But we don't have a bass. We have many generations that continue to come here because I am, as they say, and I heard them say it today, timeless. Why not? I'll toot my own horn, but I don't have a horn. Set all to this. Thank you very much. Schmuck, schmuck. Okay. And another annotated reference no one gets unless you're old enough to get it. So that would be February. Again, February, not New York, February. Teachers, people paid to teach people, and they say February, and then they spell it with the R. The R is silent. The R is not. Yeah, the R is silent in Brooklyn. You battle axe, you old battle axe. Okay. Now, there's something else we're going to do, and I was going to mention it today because, so now I'm going to talk about what I'm not going to talk about. I was going to mention it today because it was coming up sooner than I thought it was when I tried to nail it down to a date. What is it? Okay, we've been making a short documentary film, which will be produced by me, of course, because I am the elder and the timeless one. And the son of the timeless one, Ray Cotolo, will be directing it, editing it, and putting it together. It's a special little thing. We're going to put it, when we do it, it has something to do with me. And what can I say? It's one of those little, short little things that, we didn't originate. They go way back. You know, you see them on various shows, talk shows. You know, we went out and talked to, it's like the man on the street, but it's going to be something about me. It's going to be this little documentary. And, when it's together, we're going to shove it up on the Cotolo YouTube thing, which, you know, we don't do a lot of, we don't do any anymore. Any little pieces, short pieces, comic pieces, what are they? We don't do that anymore for any number of reasons, and you don't need to know them. But if you'd like them, please write to me at fcotolo@yahoo.com. By the way, thank you, all you people who are writing to me. I found, and you can find now, a way. You probably figured this out. And I, once again, as time goes on, and went on from the moment I began the show, not today, but many years ago. I said, look, I'm not going to be ever ashamed of showing my stupidity when it comes to, well, I guess when it comes to anything, but certainly when it comes to the Hallelujah Trail, the idea, the digital platform, the world that I have been introduced to broadcasting and that I furthered by helping to create. Okay, enough of that. Thank you. All right. So I can be stupid at times, and, you know, all of you people, including our special guest and Ray, of course, who is a millennial, and anyone else who is younger, they all know this too, that I don't know my way around certain digital properties, as well as millennials and Gen X people, because they're just brilliant, I guess, in that direct. I'm not. You know, they were schooled in digital. I was schooled in analog, so therefore I have a problem, and a lot of you analog people know that. If you're still with us. If you're not with us, we'll send flowers. So what am I saying? What I'm saying is we're going to do this particular wonderful little, well, it's wonderful. I mean, start. And actually, you know, it might not work out, but that's always a possibility. Here's the point. Point is, I thought we'd be able to do this and have it done for April, but now we're pushing it back because there are production problems and there are problems based on what this is going to be about. And I was going to talk about it, but we're going to talk about it when it gets closer, because this world that we live in right now is so filled with content, all kinds of content. News, music, well, pop culture, which lays itself atop of all the various things that happen around the world. The globe is very compressed and tight right now. So everybody knows what's going on everywhere quickly. So there's so much stuff that we really can't be responsible for, getting involved with individual things. I strayed. But there, but I'm trying to make lists as I go along. Okay, so this here, the documentary and the mystery guest could be next week. We did that, right? That's a million miles away next week too. Goes by so quickly, and yet, you know, it's a, don't forget, and I want to remind you of this again, because it's been a cornerstone of elements of this show from the beginning. Not the beginning of this show particular, but from the beginning of time, which was, you know, internet broadcasting began with us here and Ampcast and, you know, and those music guys and talk with me. It began there. That was the beginning of time as far as so many people are concerned. It's always fascinating to me, and I'll talk about this with the mystery guest, that I hope, if I remember, and that is that there are people who weren't born when I began this show, and now listen. I guess that's age, right? Is that age speaking? Because why on earth would I speak? Why would I bring that up other than being conscious of age and time? And you shouldn't be conscious of age and time. Oh, there goes. That's my return on my desk. Same desk. Since the same stuff that's been going on is right here, except there are pieces of elements. Okay, you don't need to know that. So here's what I was going to say. Replenish your precious bodily fluids. We've been saying this from the beginning, and it's important. It's more important than this show. Okay? Let me take a new swig of water. I've been very thirsty. The air's been dry. You know, that means Thirst and Bloody Noses, by the way, is the name of my new book, Thirst and Bloody Noses, which will be available soon through Amazon and other jungles. Other jungles that sell books. Yeah, I'll tell you what isn't easy. It's easy to sit here and talk for 2 hours, 3 hours, however long I want to. What's not easy is carrying on my back, and by that's a metaphor for being in my head, for what's in my head, carrying with me the plethora of memories involved with doing this and stages of my life that have come and gone while I still do this. So every time I sit here, and I've said this a couple of times over the past year because it's becoming so much, I'm so much more conscious of it. When I'm speaking of age, it doesn't matter either. I mean, if I started the show and I was 9 years old and then I'm, you know, and then I'm 29, I'd have the same thing. So, well, that's age also, isn't it? Well, I make myself laugh and I enjoy when I make myself laugh. I just want to say that I do. And so when I say replenish your precious bodily fluids, it's because it's more important than the show. Now, Rush guy's not going to tell you that. He'll talk for 3 hours and never tell you there's something more important than his show. Okay, forget about him. That's it. Close the door on him and them and it. Thank you very much. My name is Frank Atollman. I was Amy Jones, the title of the show. But so you replenish your precious bodily fluids because, why? Because dehydration is the enemy. It can kill you. There's so many things that can kill you. This is one more, but we always said that because I had to be aware. I always said it because I have to be aware of staying fluid, not just in my sentences, in my speech as I speak for as many minutes and hours as I do or have and will, but for everyone, you know, people listening. I used to say get three different, and we used to have liquor. It was liquor. It's all gone. All of that very special liquor is gone. And that reminds me of so many different things. Well, that's what I was getting at here. And that is that, I sit here and there's every time I start another show, I am flooded with, memories that can be, attached. And I don't have to explain them to you and I don't. And I don't have to explain them to you, but there's so much that has to do with me, my life, and this show, and it's amazing. And believe me, this is not the thing I do. This is one of the things, and it always has been one of the things I do, unlike so many people who do things and concentrate on things I never do. I jump from this to that, to that, to this. So my life is, let's just say, episodic. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Episodic! Back in school. Yeah. Okay. But this week, more stuff came to mind. And you know, let me get back to the digital thing about what I found out and what you can do. Because I mentioned writing to me at fcatolo@yahoo.com. Here's the deal. I was saying and have said and will say again, anybody who wants to find one of the topics or a guest who was on this show could go to catolochronicles.blogspot.com. I said scroll through the years, and that's true. You're scrolling through the years. Yeah, because you could scroll through years. I think it starts there, 2007. That was the year we began to be able to record these shows because of the technology. Okay, but here's the deal. And you could do this too. You do it on your phone. Any gadget you have. Gadget, digit gadget. Digit gadget. Hey, there's another word for the digit gadget. All right, Dan. Digigadget is the a new word for the Chronicles Dictionary. And that's another thing we'll get into later. But listen, okay, if you go there, and I just thought of this today, this is, and I agree with you, how stonad, as they would have said to me as a kid, stonad, how could you not figure this one out? It's so easy. Something happened this week that made me think of an interview I'd like to rerun because you should hear it even now. It's not outdated. It's timeless. A couple of things reminded me of it, which I will tell you about when we run it, which may be tonight, tomorrow, whenever you're listening. And if you're listening, and I hope you're listening. Okay. At CatoloChronicles.com, the upper left-hand corner of the screen of your browser, there's a search window. There's a little rectangle search window. Why didn't I see that before? For some reason or another, it came to my mind that there might be one. Because what I've been doing when someone sends in a request and says, I want to hear that show about the clowns. And I went, oh boy, I got to go through from 2007. I got to go through what? 20 something year? No, 10, 7 to 17 to 10, 15, 19, 12. I can't even count. I got to go through all these weeks. I got to scroll through this to try to find it. And then they say, like, yeah, why are you trying to find it, Frank? Why don't you have it cataloged? And I've told you this, and I'll tell you this again. We never cataloged these. We never labeled them. We never put tags on them. All we have are the blurbs that we wrote about the various shows the week they were going to air. And that trove of information is at catolochronicles.blogspot.com. Now, today, I'm not ashamed to tell you, and I never was and I never will be. I said, what if I put in a name here? Because, you know, a word that had something to do, if not the thing to do, with the topic of the show I'm looking to find. And even then I'm going, well, you know, it's going to go through the whole blog spot. And it, you know, I'm thinking it can't work. But the thing is, I would have tried it before. I'm not saying that I said I didn't do it because I didn't think it would work. I didn't do it because I didn't think that feature was there. And the feature is there. And so I put in the word, and that's right. Snap, snap, snap with me. I don't snap as good as I used to. It's funny because I snap with the hand that has a little bit of that Holland Tunnel on it. I snap better with the carpal tunnel fingers. And I guess I think that's whatever pain is going on. There must be carpal tunnel. Who invented that? Like Ed Carpel? Is that why it's carpal tunnel? Or is this carpal? Is it part of the hand? There's a lot I don't know too, you know. Carpal? Is this the carpal area of the wrist? So that search engine, now if you go up there, let's just say tigers, because we've done some shows on tigers, or gorillas. We've done some shows on gorillas. If you go to catolochronicles.blogspot.com and you go to that search rectangle and you write in gorilla, you're going to find gorilla shows. Gorilla shows. You're going to find shows about gorillas. It's probably one about Lucy. We did that a long time ago, way before the movie. We did one about the talking gorilla. Forgot the names. And we did one about, I forgot her name, the gorillas in the mist lady, Diane something. See, I don't even know. But so you know how search engines work? I know how search engines work. And yet, I never thought there was one there for each blog. And I was wrong. So you go there, before you write to me, you put in a topic or a name, right? You could put in, there's another thing. Crap. Oh, wow. So many, and then as I'm talking, how things that happen during the week, or in this case, the 2 weeks, even more, you know. I'm writing it down. Try to keep a note here. Verbose. But I went there and I put it in and I got it in a snap. It was right there. It went right to the date. In this case, the date was July 26th, 2007, which was the year that we began to collect these recordings. I don't know what to call them, recordings, right? What else would I call them? They're not tapes. They're files. But you can't just say files. There's lots of kinds of files. These recorded files. These MP3s, which were waves and then compressed. And I found it, which made me say to myself, Frank, maybe because you thought of this based on what went on, something that went on this week, you should do it and air it this evening. or this morning, or whenever you're listening to it. And so I may do that. But just something else just came to my mind. And I'm writing it down because I want to make sure. See, so again, because so much comes through, and it's not bad enough. Well, I'm saying bad enough. It's not crowded enough or noisy enough in my head, other than the fact that my subconscious is very closely available to my conscious. As I've said many times, I have saloon doors. I don't have to get unconscious to get my subconscious. If I just sit and in my conscious state, you know, saloon doors. I wonder if YouTube has a sound. You know, it'd be interesting to find that out, wouldn't it be? Let's see. That would be great. Even though, you know, I'm not going to, I know. I have to stop right now. Yeah, because I got to go with the flow. If I go to YouTube and I write in here, because like I said, everything's everywhere now. And much of it is still free. So don't get stuck. All right. Saloon doors. Look at this. Saloon doors hinges. Look at this. They're, I wonder. Saloon doors opening. Listen, look at this. So I could actually tell you how to install. You can learn every, you know, I mean, unbelievable. I'm fascinated. Where's the sound? I want the sound of, I don't want to know how to make them. Here, Bilberry Saloon Door, 7 seconds. What does this sound like? Here. There you go. Hear it? That's great. I should bookmark this, okay? Should be louder. But that's the sound of things moving. That's the saloon doors opening. Well, here's another one. Swinging cafe saloon doors. This is like what? This is a, welcome to swingingcafedoors.com. Oh my goodness. It's, here we go. Swinging cafe doors with music. Oh God, it's everywhere. Listen. Yeah. Oh, they're just going to show them? Why don't they, come on. No? Oh, that stinks. Oh, forget it. That's ridiculous. I mean, where, how to make things? No. That's ridiculous. What about this? They just show you saloon doors. I know I've stopped for this and I really shouldn't have. Here, swinging cafe saloon doors. Urban Western. Maybe this is just a sound. Saloon doors recordable audio clip. Let's see. Maybe this one is just, here we go. Here they go. Here they are. That's not that. That's an elevator. Oh, come on. You got to make a production out of this? Screw that. You know, all I wanted. Maybe I shouldn't do it. Just to explain this, it doesn't matter. It's useless. The point is the input, things that are input. All of us, not just me, obvious. All of us, we're attacked, which makes it sound violent because it is attacked. We are flooded. Flooded doesn't necessarily, violent. We absorb so much more than ever information. Now that doesn't mean that people before the digital platform weren't. They, you know, you could have, there's an amazing amount of information. You still could have, as one person, done, absorbed. But there's so much, and you know what? It's not really your problem. I just like to explain why certain things happen when I'm talking on this show. And the fact that there's so much, maybe I do have a little bit more than the guy next to me. And that's why when they invented. When they found this thing called automatic deficiency dependence, that's not it. It was ADD stand for. Long before, when they found that, they said, you know what's wrong with you, Frank? And of course, immediately stamped me as a diseased person, because that's a disease. You got ADD, and then what is ADMD, ADLD, you know, ADD, L, Adlam, Adam. Add, I like to call it addtraction, which is like subtraction and addition together. add traction. That's another word we're going to put in the dictionary. One of these days I'll do a whole show. See, it's coming through my head now. Add, what did I say? Subtraction. Add traction. Add traction is a word, which I like to call it add traction. Okay, so it's not like I go down a rabbit hole and I can come back to exactly where I was before. That's because I'm a writer writers, a lot of writers, if not all writers, I can't speak for all writers. I can't even speak for one other writer. But from what I know and what I've read and what I've heard, you know, a writer can stop and then, do a billion other things, go right back when it's time to write again to the very point where that writer left off. And just pick it up. And I could do that. So when I'm talking here, like go down some rabbit hole, because you go down a hole, you don't go up a hole. And people will say, he spiraled up. How do you spiral up? What are you? Okay. When I go down a rabbit hole and go maybe even to another rabbit hole on the side, I go down a rabbit hole and then find another rabbit hole that's connected to that rabbit hole. But eventually I come back to the original topic. The topic that I was talking to before I went down the rabbit hole, or into the other rabbit hole, or whatever rabbit holes I went to. And why are they rabbit holes? I want to tell you something else, too. I don't have rabbit holes. I live in the country. I live in the country, stay out of the town. I live in the country, and they're gopher holes. And then I say gopher. This is how the stream of consciousness works. And everyone's had that. It's not necessarily ADD. Lots of things are spelled, lots of diseases are spelled so that you don't have to, and that's pop culture. And there's another show I want to do, okay? The show about how pop culture affects everything else that it has nothing to do with, like science and math. I want to do that show. When can I get to do that show? And then one day I'll wake up and go, you know, what's the difference if I do that show or not? See what I'm saying? I am immersed. There's a better word. I'm immersed in everything that has happened on this show, everything that I want to happen on this show. And then I set up a show like I did a couple of weeks ago about drones, and then what happens? What happens? I flew off into some other area. We never got to drones, but I said, we're going to forget drones for now, right? I said, you know, I know of love you got the drones because you were dying to hear about it. So that's an inference. That's a little, it's a stupid, not a joke, but it's a little, it doesn't matter. But there are the drone things, movie trends. I have this thing, 2019 movie trends. And I wanted to talk about this flex tape incident that I've been, it's funny. It's funny that those of you who follow me, and you can, whether you care to or not, you don't get on Twitter the volume of things you get from other Twitter accounts. I don't just toss things on there. I don't toss them on quickly. I do other things, and I use the account for specialized topics that I do, and I have an audience for that. And those of you who follow me have to get that crap too. So anything. But I do pop up things once in a while, an opinion, once in a while a joke, a thing, whatever, a thought that is a joke, a thought that is an opinion that is a joke, you know, whatever, at Frank Cotolo. Is that difficult? No. And you write to me when you get the blogspot.com thing going, and you go through, and you say, hey, and now it's going to be easier with this rectangular search thing, because you could go, you don't know of shows and topics and people who've been on. So you say, I wonder if this person's ever been on, or anybody connected to this, let's say, television show. Anyone connected to this television show ever been on live and interviewed on Cotolo Chronicles? Put in the show. Now you might get, of course, that word may appear in a couple of different places. But, you know, if you're specific as you may be able to be, you will find the show. Okay? So I wanted to do the thing for the flex. So, you know, you can follow me on Twitter is what I'm saying. if you care to. I'm not saying that because I want raw numbers, large raw numbers. You know, I got over 11,000 tweets since I began on there, thanks to Kurt Brandow. I put the A in it. Kurt Brandow, who should be on this show again, and has been on here many times, and who introduced the Twitter to the world before it was nothing. Now it's everything. Now everybody's got a Twitter. And again, that's just another thing. I'll cross this out because I did that. Yeah. And again, the thing I don't want to do is I don't want to go over a topic I've done before if it doesn't have a new, fresh feel and information. Just because somebody hasn't heard it, because I will not be able to recreate it as well, I would probably did it the best I could the first time. So why do it again? When I was into that particular, the energy of that particular topic, or obviously there have been people who have been on my show before. So if you put in Popoli, because you want to get Dr. Popoli shows, he's been on a bunch of shows. Okay. There's a lot of people that have been on, but that's okay. You can get. They're easier. You don't have to look through 12 years anymore. Oh, and so there's just so many things and so much. And yet it's hard to put these. You can't put these in order of importance because that would be me. This is more important than that. And that's not true. So I'm asking the audience to find various things. Look, 10 people, there's no number to this. If one person writes to me at fcatolo@yahoo.com and requests one show, that's enough. I don't need 10 people. Now, I had a request, which is why I'm 45 minutes now into this particular show. And I was thinking about doing this, but I have to talk about it ahead of time, or should I just do it? I don't know. But we see, I'm crossing this out. I'm trying to make some notes as we talk so I don't forget what I talked about. And then, something I could refer to on Y2K plus 19. This is Cthulhu Chronicles, and this is send requests. Put in the subject, and put anything in the subject. You know, put in the subject, classic Cthulhu. No, just put anything in the subject. I open up these things. I open up mails. I just don't open up strange links inside of them. You don't either, and you should not. Same thing with the books. And all the things that, there's just so much. Go buy the books and do that. And the drone thing, we'll talk about drones as a part of another thing. But here's what reminded me of what happened, and here's why I think we could get into this. We could get into this interview from 2007. Because I always hear my father going, my father, didn't have the best language skills, vocabulary, what have you. But he would say things to me like, you got, what's with the got? I got. I got, what with the got? Like, he was the grammar teacher. I got. I became aware today of a new book by a friend of mine, a compatriot, a person who I know through another area of my life. And he has a new book, and it's a wonderful book, I'm sure, because I've read The Galley, so I know it. I know it's a wonderful book. And he has done this book, written this book, or what have you. But I remember when he came on a program, because there was another book that he was wanting to talk about, not his book. See, because the man by the name of Barry Meadow is a great debunker. He debunks things. And I love debunkers. Someone who can see the misvalued, can see the junk that's inside of something, he can spot a sham from a mile away or whatever, and he had talked, there was a book that came out, I guess, obviously came out around 2007, a book called The Secret. You could look it up. It's probably still available over there at Amazon or what have you. Now, why did this come up again this week with me? We could do this up until, and I'll leave the second hour for Barry and I for as long as that goes. But listen, I was perusing Netflix content, because now I get Netflix, HBO, and a various other. I'm hooked up super digitally, and I have a wonderful, you know, screen, and it has HD, and see, HD. Can't say high definition. See, HD, that's pop culture. It has HD, and I check out here and there. I check out documentaries. I like documentaries, and I told you we were going to make one. Okay, that's another story. And there was a documentary based on this book called The Secret. In 2007, Barry Meadow did a brilliant job debunking this outrageous, well, I'm editorializing, but debunking the theory, the bulk, the nucleus of this book, the theory, the whatever they did in this book. Because Barry's a debunker. Barry's a debunker, it's easy to go. Barry's a debunker, he'll tell you what blows. Barry's a debunker. Okay, and he did a great job with it. And this week, I say, this, look, there's a documentary called The Secret. And it's not from then, it's not that old. It's not as old as the book. And of course, the book tells you it uses the word timeless. Timeless. God, you see, there's another thing. I gotta write, not timeless. I think I made a note of it here. This legend thing. Like, we're going to go into that then too one of these days. More legend crap. It says, yeah, that's my note. Oh, it's driving me crazy. Okay, so Barry came on the show and said, I want to talk about this show. And I want to talk about this book. And there's nobody better than I could think of to talk about The Secret, which, I mean, people went crazy about this. But, you know, the masses do that when it comes to something that, I don't know. I don't want to go into that because that's what the interview is more than half about. So I started to watch this documentary because I do that. I watch them, you know, and I don't, sometimes I don't get through them. I didn't get through this. Whew, wow. So if I editorialize, I'll tell you. But I'd rather, especially if you know about it, and we've had people on who are mystically, spiritually, mystically connected, so they say, connected. And I try to be kind to them and take it lightly, but they don't. They take it seriously. And, of course, I'm always pissed because of anyone who thinks they have something special going on that you don't. And that's why they're better, because those are just obviously people who aren't better but trying to show you they're better, like you care. Right, all that. And various attitudes like that that you've heard from me, Frank Atolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. See how it all works out? And, oh, look at this. I gotta get rid of this. Like, so many windows on my frickin' thing here. So, what's this? Oh, this is what I want. Okay. So, you know, as I'm doing it while we talk, I'm doing, you know, looking at this thing. Trying to get this in order. So what? What's the so what? So I'm going to do this and let it speak for itself from July 26, 2007, as opposed to holding it for another show, because I learned a long time ago in journalism as a deadline reporter, one of the things I've been, that you don't save things. You do things, do them, use them, because you save things. And there's another thing. See, I got this Vanity Fair, and I wanted to talk about, they have a big article here about the Chateau Marmont. You don't know what the Chateau, what is the Chateau Marmont? Well, you know, I want to do that too. I'm going to talk about and add my story to the Chateau. There's just so much. There's too much. And maybe that's better than not enough. My name is Frank Atolo. Man whose name adorns the title of the show. After the short break, go to the bathroom. I'm going to get yourself some water, get yourself some coffee, whatever it is, and then come back. And then I'm going to play you, if I could play the whole thing, I don't know. I guess I could. I could go as long as I want or whatever. But I should go for the other stations that only do me for 2 hours rebroadcast for 2 hours. I should go no longer than the 2 hours. I will play what I can of the Barry Meadow debunking of The Secret from 2007. We'll do that shortly. To you, how we promoted this show, and then I'm gonna do that from CtolaChronicles.blogspot.com from the blog that week, Thursday, July 26, 2007. This is what the blog said. It was the headline was, "Listen, do you want to know a secret?" This is when we had a sponsor, the Shortstop Pants. Can we have a spot? Yeah, okay. Anyway, author Barry Meadow. And we'll talk about them, is the guest in a debunking fest that focuses on a book titled The Secret, which claims a great secret has been found that will be, and this is a quote, that will be life-transforming for all who experience it, unquote. Does the author reveal the secret laws and principles of the universe, or just fill the pages with New Age dribble? Can a book help you achieve health, wealth, and happiness by applying the knowledge? You be the judge. While we be the judges. Look at the stuff we had here, too. Wow. We were on so many stations. Anyway, that doesn't matter. What matters is this show. Okay. I that was me from then. I'm going to go to 29. What do I have to go to? 29:28 is a time. 29, 28, 29, 30, too much. It's very careful how I do this. 29:28. Here's 29:35. 29:03. 29:35. That's close. I don't think it has to be that exact. 29:03. 29:35. How come I can't get in between this? So he's 29:03 to 29. It's 29:19. It's close enough. Let's do this. Listen to it. Right here, you're listening to CtoloChronicles.blogs. No, not blog, you're not. No! It's Cthulhu Chronicles. And here from 2007, the debunking of The Secret, it's going to be me, and I'm going to be calling Barry Meadow.
What happens? Oh, we don't have the, we have Tamayaki Yakatama. Thank you, Tamayaki Yakatamas. It's time to call Barry Meadow and to get him on the phone so we can debunk. Debunk, debunk, debunk. I bet you he's ready. I'll bet you he's ready right now. Barry Meadow's sitting there right now. Barry is sitting there right now and he's going, that's baloney. That's baloney. Hello?
Hello.
Hello, Barry Meadow, please.
That would be me.
It would be you?
It would be me and that would be you.
And it is you and it's me and here we are once again.
Together again on the radio.
You know, it's been so long, I could hardly count.
Well, who cares?
No, it's a lot of people care, Barry. I've gotten a lot of emails and today, and not one of them was about you. But I do want to say this. We've been talking about this book that you are going to be talking about. I don't know. I really don't know much about this book. I like to go into this with I've been talking about your book.
Oh, the heck with my book.
No. It's not true. And I put a special link. You might even sell like one more copy today because I had a special link on my blog.
Well, now my kid could go to college, except he's already dropped out.
Well, we'll send him back. We'll send him back with the extra. He could take one more course. I keep telling everyone, and I do have, you know, my copy. I keep telling, this is terrible. Why don't people buy books? They share them because we're in the digital age where everything is sharing, and of course it's called pirating, right?
Well, let's see. You think of it this way: people share music with each other, and if they keep sharing music forever, then nobody will ever get paid for making music.
Well, you know, it's just at a bigger level than it used to be because we always share music. I don't ever remember the copyright police coming to my house when people had cassettes of new albums that other people couldn't afford to buy. You know,
I'd like to know how one qualifies to join the copyright police.
How they qualify?
What, right? Are there tests? Are there physical tests?
Mm-hmm.
Is there like a high dropout rate for people going through the copyright police academy?
The test is difficult because it's a verbal test, and you can't say the same thing twice. Otherwise, you're immediately thrown out. Okay, the heck with that. The point is, I've been loaning your book. I got this one copy for how long have I had it, and I keep telling people, will you buy the book? And they go, well, I'll read it first. Yeah, right.
Well, I mean, there's a tremendous royalty I get each time it's ordered from the publisher, so I have to be able to live on that.
It's a great book. No, you don't.
Yeah, you're right.
Anyway, I didn't ever know exactly how else, because you're an author. I mean, how else do I describe you? Did I say author? Because everything you write is what you write, right? You're an author.
Author, I'm well known in the gambling world. I appeared in the latest Handicapping Expo. I'm also in a new movie, which is called Blue Collar Gambler.
Are you in a movie?
Well, it's kind of it's like a straight-to-DVD, you can only get it from, like, the guy kind of thing.
Oh, so it's not like me and Meteor.
It's not like going to, you can't go to Blockbuster and get this thing.
Mm. Okay.
Of course, mainly author of Money Secrets of the Racetrack and author of Blackjack Autumn.
Blackjack Autumn is the one that I tout a lot because I truly believe that's one of those books that transcends the whole gambling thing. And a lot of people don't.
Well, thanks.
You know, a lot of people who listen to this program are into, they don't even know anything about that stuff.
Well, I've never transcended gambling because I'm still gambling every day.
Well, but I don't like to say, he's an author and a professional gambler. That doesn't, I don't know.
He also resells posters.
Yes, and I've been wanting to know what about that one of Scott Bayou that I ordered from you. Is that ready yet?
Does he get confused? They say, I wanted to order the Scott bio, and you send him something about William Scott the Explorer. He says, no, I wanted the Scott bio.
I'm still trying to figure out why John Fogerty thinks he was born on him. I don't get that one at all.
That's a joke that only about seven of us are going to get.
We have an esoteric audience. The book, I didn't do a lot of research about the book, and I thought that would be great so that I could have the kind of questions that people would have who are listening too.
But sure, in other words, you want to imitate Larry King and be totally unprepared. That's good.
Yes, that is it.
Looking at a whole career of that.
That is it. No.
I don't ever read anything because I want to just ask everybody's questions.
So
tell me, this book that you've written that's about Cleveland. It's called Cleveland. Is it about Cleveland?
Barry also, as far as being an author, Barry was also a comedy writer like I was once.
Well, of course, and I appeared in doing a lot of comedy shows until the audience decided I wasn't funny.
Now, here's the thing, though. Is that a joke?
No.
I mean, you're trying to be funny by telling people you're not. You know what I hate? I hate people who do this. I hate people who say this, and I don't. This never happened to me because I never have writer's block. I don't even believe in writer's block. I don't know. But someone's like, well, you know, when you don't know what to write, why don't you write about how you can't write? Is that stupid or what?
Well, you know what I hate?
No, it's probably not that. You gotta
move on. I hate hatred. I hate people who hate.
Well, you've come to the wrong place, BM.
Well, okay. So what do we do now, Frank?
Well, we want to talk about it. I want to talk about this book. I want you to do some real heavy debunking here. Because tell us, first of all, what you know or how you found out about this book. today I'm asking around, and apparently everybody knows about this book except me and Larry King.
Well, this book is the number one nonfiction bestseller book at the moment. So it's the biggest book in all of America, except, of course, Harry Potter, which we hope is fiction. So people have been buying this. It's been a gigantic seller for the last 2 years, and there's a DVD, there's the book, there's websites, there's study groups. It's crazy, crazy, crazy.
Okay, now, and it's by somebody, who's this, Raymond?
Yeah, it's by a lady named Rhonda Byrne.
Okay.
Who's, I believe she's from Australia, and she said, how can I make money? I know, I'll repackage some old stuff, I'll give it a great name, because it's the secret. Now, if it was just a secret, who would buy it? But it's the secret.
Okay.
And that changes everything.
Okay, now, how did you find out about this?
Well, people are talking about it, so since I didn't know anything about it, I did whatever research I could. I came across an Oprah show where she interviewed a number of people that were involved in the making of this DVD, and I listened to them, and they sound very impressive until I realized they had absolutely nothing to say, but they sounded good.
Okay.
So then I started looking things up about the book, and other people who were big believers says, oh, you got to get this thing, you got to get this thing. So I started learning what it was about.
Okay, now tell us, what is the secret? And how many pages do you have to go into this book before you find out the secret?
Well, you can describe it in a sentence or two. Basically, the secret is that there's, quote, a law of attraction, which says if you send out a thought to the universe, the universe responds in kind. So if you think wonderful thoughts, you'll get sunshine and roses. If you think negatively, you'll get tornadoes and thorns.
And of course, you are correct. There is nothing new about that. So she took this thing and called it the law of attraction, or is there some philosopher somewhere who did this 20,000 years ago?
Well, there was actually a philosophy called New Thought that was around in the late 19th century, which was a lot of this positive thinking type stuff. This stuff is certainly not new.
Right.
The book's basic advice is to, quote, ask, receive, believe, receive. In other words, you ask the universe for what you want, you believe it's really going to happen, and then here comes the universe providing that thing that you want.
Years ago, there were a number of books written by a woman named Florence Shinn, S-H-I-N-N. Do you know her?
Not personally, but I'd like to.
Well, you can't. She's dead.
Oh, how sad.
She's dead, but she did, in her will, say that she was sorry she never met you.
Well, look, if she's dead, don't you have people on your program sometimes who talk to the dead?
Oh, you know about that.
So perhaps Florence can, you can get in contact with
her. I'm going to get Athena back here because there wasn't enough in there. I was just about to have her call my father, get to my father. She said he was over there. Apparently there are blue-collar workers over there, too, on the other side as well.
Is this other side? Is everybody on this other side?
Yeah, remember, if you heard the program, I asked her about Hitler. And she said, he's learning. He's doing well. He's learning. He's doing better.
What's he learning, exactly?
I don't know. Well, after he shaved, I guess he found himself, he looked like a new man. And I don't know, but let's not get into that. What was I getting into? Oh, Florence Shinn had a number of books. And she was she based these books on biblical writings, but the main idea was your word is your wand. And she claimed that if you said positive things, this is also, again, prayer, some kind of prayer, affirmations, that's an old thing. Remember affirmations?
Yeah, so a lot of people like these affirmations. You say something, for example, if every day I say, I'm tall, I'm tall, I'm tall, pretty soon I'll be too tall to go to the shortstop. And that concerns me.
That's right. And you can now go to the shortstop, because I know how tall you are. Or is it how short?
I'm between 5'2" and 5'9".
That's right. So you should be, go away and never alter my pants again. You should be buying. So she wrote all these books about the secret of success and what, and it all had to do with saying these things. And affirmations you have to say aloud. That's the problem with them. I did them once when I was living in New York. And I got into trouble, saying those things on the subway because people would come over and put a dime in my hand.
And why is that a problem?
Well, why is it a problem saying it aloud? It's weird.
Well, it's a combination of, you're supposed to say things aloud. You put pictures of the things you want up there. You have it in your mind all the time. And somehow the universe, which normally, couldn't care that I existed, suddenly now favors me with all the goodies that I've ever wanted. And apparently there's no real reason to work for this stuff, which is my favorite part, actually.
This is the same universe that, as I've been saying, in 2 to 5 billion years, will no longer exist because the sun is going to suck in all the planets around us and just completely blow itself up. Did you know that? That's a fact.
You know, if we could find out right before it happens, we wouldn't really have to pay that pesky visa bill, would we?
No, we wouldn't. But I don't think 2 to 5 billion years, well, 2 to 5, what's it? It's like, you know, when you get to those numbers, what's the difference anymore, right?
So just think how far off that estimate is. 2 to 5, that could be off by several billion years.
It could be. Yes, it could be. It could be. In which case, Al Gore will start screaming. And
that'd be great. If I'm a psychic, I could say sometime in the next 5 billion years, the universe will explode.
No, this is not from psychics, though. This comes from, have you been watching that program called The Universe on, I think it's the History Channel?
No, it seems like a very big topic, though.
It is. It's great. It's fascinating. It's a fascinating, it's bigger than the universe itself. And it's all based on, it's all based on science, because all these people do is to sit around and do, you know, they look at pictures from the Jupiter's moons and Jupiter, and, you know, there's probes out there that are flying around taking pictures. We don't even know it. And these people are looking at this stuff. You know, they're not looking at it through the Bible or through The Secret or, you know, they're just, you know, they're scientists. You know that.
Well, scientists at least are trying to measure things. Once we get into the realm of just thinking about things and then make claims, we have problems.
Okay, that's where all this comes. Let's get back to The Secret then. So she said there is the law of attraction, and this is very simple. We just say what we want, and the universe, the same universe that's going to implode, right? The same one, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the universe. Does she ever describe what the universe is? What's the universe? Is it a force, a power? What is the universe?
Well,
is it God?
Well, I guess it's some sort of energy the universe gives off. And if we have if you believe the thought is father to the deed, if we have these thoughts, somehow they will come back to us in certain ways. So if I think really, really hard and I really, really want something, I go from being an anonymous, insignificant drone to a mover and shaker who influences the way the universe works. Nice.
Give me that first one. What kind of insignificant drone was that?
I'll be an anonymous, insignificant drone.
Anonymous, insignificant drone.
But, see, if I tell the universe what I want and the universe does it, I've become a mover and shaker who influences the whole universe.
Yeah, but at least a mover and a shaker has had like two different connotations. Anonymous, insignificant drone is a bit redundant. But it's okay. It's okay. How about a little?
I've actually, you know, prayed or said every day, I hope I'm going to get better. I hope I'm going to get better. And they just keep getting worse.
Well, those are the people we never hear about or hear from, really, aren't they?
Well, it's kind of like you have the people that say, I hope I win the lottery. I hope I win the lottery. Here's a picture of me. I'll make up a picture using Photoshop with me in the lottery. And I keep buying tickets, and darn it, I never win. But somebody wins, so maybe it'll be me. So you don't hear about all those that tried it and it didn't work. You just hear about the one that happened, and look at the great success they've had.
So in the true sense of debunkery, if in fact that is a word and a process, what you're saying is these people are just saying, this book, like a lot of other these people, is saying this stuff without any particular evidence, without any backing, without any, is that what you're saying? That's what debunkers do, right?
Well, debunkers, I think it's more, you'd say, investigators. It's not a question of debunking. It's a question of looking at what the evidence is for a certain belief.
Okay, so evidence is what I'm saying. So this lady has no credentials, no nothing, no evidence at all that there is a law of attraction. Like, we know there's a law of gravity. We can see it every day, right?
Right.
But the law of attraction, where does that come from? And how does it become a law if it hasn't been proven?
Well, because that sounds nice. It sounds like it's very, very specific. It sounds like it's something physical, but it's not. It's simply a belief that if you put out a certain energy will come back to you. And as a result, that leads to some other problems. For example, if bad things happen to me, does that mean I didn't believe enough in goodness, and that's why bad things happen? Am I responsible for everything that happens to me? If I'm in Rwanda and there's killing going on and somebody shoots me, was that my fault? If I was stuck in Cambodia when Pol Pot was there and he just was randomly killing millions of people, is that my fault? I just didn't believe hard enough that everything would be okay?
Well, you could have went to the Bermudas that week, but to the Bermudas? What are the Bermudas? Is that where they make the shorts? What am I talking about? I'm trying to make a point here because I had said to Athena when she was on the show, when the psychic, I said, I think that free will, you know, the God people are always, religious people are always talking about free will. I think that's the greatest cop-out in the world, that they have isn't that a built-in cop-out?
Well, it's important to have built-in cop-outs because otherwise, if you believe something and people try to test it and you don't test it successfully, you have a great cop-out. For example, let's say I'm a psychic. I say I'm a psychic, and some institute says, well, look, if you can prove you're a psychic, here's a whole bunch of money. So they make up some test, and of course, I don't pass the test. And I say, well, the conditions weren't right, the wind wasn't right, the fact that you were here changed everything, I can't decide when these vibrations are going to come, and therefore, you haven't disproven anything. As long as there's a cop-out, you can pretty much believe anything. Like, for example, if I pray for a loved one to get better from an illness, and the loved one succeeds, well, God made the person better. If the person dies, well, God needed to call the person back home, and we don't really understand how God works anyway.
Right, so
either way, my beliefs don't get challenged.
So when a belief, okay, so this all really comes down to what people believe, and of course the belief is based on faith, and faith, as is taught in religion, which is something we've talked about on this show many times, that faith is not really what faith is. Faith is just believe it or not. Faith is this Ripley thing, right? It's like you believe it or forget, right? And believe it, don't have to prove it.
No, they don't have to prove it, and that's why it's called faith. Otherwise, it would be evidence-based. And a lot of people, unfortunately, don't really know what evidence is. They say, well, my friend took this pill, and my friend got better, therefore it works. Anecdotes and stories are not evidence. That's why you have to have clinical trials for drugs. You can't simply say, well, I think the thing works. Of course, you can put it in a health food store because those don't have to be, all they have to do is be proven safe. They don't have to be proven that they work. To have an actual marketed drug, the big drug companies have to spend a lot of money on tests, and a lot of these tests turn out these drugs are not as good as they think, and then off they go. So what
happens is this area of spirituality, of course, is still rife for con people and even people who honestly believe this stuff, because no one really questions. And this is something when we had when Dr. Popoli comes on the show every once in a while, we took psychological stuff, and it's true. Why don't people hold spirituality at the same standards as they do anything else? That's human nature, isn't it? Why is that?
People want to believe things. They don't really care about the evidence. I mean, for example, let's say that we go to a funeral and the guy at the funeral says he's in a better place, he's meeting all his relatives, it's going to be great up there, it'll be all fabulous. Now, here comes the atheist minister, says, no, the guy's worm food. Now, which story would you rather believe?
Right. I see. Yes. That's okay. So there it is. No one wants to believe that, in essence, we are nondescript, insignificant droids. No, I said it wrong, Ian. Adults? Droids?
Well, there's also a tremendous amount of randomness in the universe, and we constantly seek patterns.
Right.
It's one thing that human beings do is look for patterns, which at some point is actually worthwhile. For example, if I go to a jungle and I see a certain berry is safe to eat, I'll figure out, okay, what road did I take to get down there? Are there similar roads? Are there similar-looking berries? And then I can learn something that's going to help me if I look for patterns. But not everything has a pattern. Some things are simply random and some luck, both good and bad. There are a number of books on this subject.
You should write one called Barry's Berries. And profess this.
Well, you know, there are a lot of books on critical thinking, books like How We Know What Isn't So and When Wish Replaces Thought and Why People Believe Weird Things and The Power of Logical Thinking, but these books basically sell about 3 copies each.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. Now, none of these books that involve the opposite of just blind faith get anywhere on the instead, all the Oprah books get there.
Well, whatever Oprah likes is going to get there anyway. If Oprah suddenly made a gigantic turn and was into debunking, boy, the whole world would change really quickly.
Wouldn't that be great?
I believe mostly in Oprah. That's my major belief.
Wouldn't that be great? If the lady, what's her name again, who wrote The Secret?
Rhonda Byrne.
If she was here right now, what would you ask her to prove?
Prove that there's a law of attraction. And don't give me stories about how your friend believed it and now suddenly they made a lot of money. How many people have tried this? How many people succeeded? What are the definitions of how you can tell if something really succeeded? If somebody fails, did they not try hard enough?
If Rhonda...
Simply by using names, saying Plato knew this and Galileo knew this and Beethoven knew, doesn't make it so. And the fact that I can say something over and over and over again doesn't make it so.
Well, what's her name again? Rhonda?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I was right. I keep remembering her name and thinking that's the wrong one. Rhonda... if Rhonda went out and she said, now suppose she wrote this book and she said, I talked to 60,000 people. In other words, I guess what I'm trying to say is, because I know you're into, and rightfully so, into trying to prove probabilities based on important samples. If she went out and could she go out and prove this by getting 200, 300,000 people who said things or what?
Well, she has a vested interest because she wrote the book. There's something called experimenter bias, where a person tries to prove something, and then they're the one that does the investigation, and surprise, surprise, the thing they're trying to prove worked.
But what if she did this? What if anybody did this? If they went out and asked 200,000 people to say something they wanted every day, and let's say more people, it happened to more people than not, would it still be coincidence, or would there now be a probability that if you did it, in other words, it wouldn't happen all the time, but there would be a probability. Am I making any sense here?
Not really, but okay. There are, I don't think anybody is really objecting too much to saying, look, if you have positive thoughts, that's better than having negative thoughts. On the other hand, let's say I'm going to play Roger Federer in a tennis match next week. I positively believe I can beat him. I visualize myself beating him. I've dreamed the whole scenario. I've written down all the ways I'm going to go to beat him. And Roger wakes up and he's in a really bad mood and he's sick and he says, I hate tennis, I hate my life, life is horrible. And we go out and play, he's still going to whip the crap out of me.
And I'd like to see that.
In other words, it's not simply how you think about things, it's about how you do things.
Right.
And, for example, if I want to write a book, I can't imagine writing a book. I've got to sit down and write the darn book. And just because I write a book doesn't necessarily mean anybody's going to buy it.
Right. How did she fill a whole book of this stuff? Does she actually talk about Galileo saying things?
Yes, she does, right.
And she says that what, Galileo he believed this and... that's why he found the universe.
People that go through obstacles to try to go ahead and do what they do. That's all. It's all nice. It's all great. But there are plenty of people that try to get through obstacles and they work hard and hard and hard and things don't really happen for them anyway. So there's a lot of things that make for success. Obviously, you've got to think about what you're going to do. You got to figure out a way to do it. You got to make the thing happen, and then you got to see if anybody's actually interested in what you're doing. It's not just simply imagining things and affirming things, saying, for example, if I say, I'm a man for whom money is my friend. I love money. Money comes to me. I handle money easily. I love money. It doesn't mean I'm going to be rich.
Right.
Unless I figure out some way to make that money. So simply thinking about something, while certainly it can't be too harmful, doesn't actually make things happen.
Okay, two questions, and I want to remember one of them. I don't want to remember the other one because that's the one I'm going to say first. If I wanted to remember the one I was going to say first, you getting a fax?
I think that's probably a junk Rhonda. Fax because I believe in the power of junk faxes.
What? Do you think that people should be, why don't we? Why don't we hold these people accountable? Because there's not enough people who don't want to believe it or don't want the proof because they don't want the truth. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
absolutely. Because let's say, for example, that we decided to have the same standards for religion as we do for drugs. Can you prove that God exists? Can you prove this thing happened? Can you prove this? Can you prove that? People don't want to hear that. They want to stick with their culture. They want to stick with their beliefs. Why is astrology so popular? Even thousands of years, and every time they've actually done surveys of, let's see if any of this is true, astrology is no better than any other kind of guesswork. But people believe it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very hard to get people off beliefs. What percentage of people believe that Saddam Hussein was somehow mixed up in 9/11 years after it's been shown there was no connection whatsoever? It's very hard to move people off beliefs.
Well, I mean, now some of this has to do with... Okay, but some of this has to do with... Now, none of this has to do with intelligence. This all has to do with emotions, doesn't it? Because we are attracted and we hold on to ideas and concepts, not necessarily true, but ones that benefit ourselves, right?
Absolutely. It's got nothing to do with intelligence because think of all the cults that have been around. Some of these cults involve highly intelligent people, but they want to believe certain things, and so they get swept up into this cult. There seems to be no real relationship between a person's IQ and how much they believe. You can be an idiot and still say, yeah, that sounds like crap to me. Or you can have an IQ of 150 say, yes, I do believe there's a special planet over there that we all started from.
Why, where are the, how did you stop believing things? Did you once believe things?
No. No, I always used to think,
I always used to think
when I was listening to stuff in school, I'd say, how do they know this is the case? Why should I actually believe this? But I guess it was once I started reading things like Skeptical Inquirer and the Skeptic magazine, and I started buying a lot of books on how to think about things, which challenged some of my own beliefs, I said, you know what, maybe I better think about stuff before I say it's true.
Oh, so wait a second. See, you just jumped off it. I said, what about your beliefs? You said you never really had them, and now you're saying challenged your beliefs.
It made me think about what I want to believe and how I want to believe it.
Okay, give me one thing you do believe. No, you did before. What is something you believed that was absolutely nonsense? Before this thought, before you investigated thought and how to look into it.
Well, I guess like most people, I would believe that, the government had our best interests at heart, and if it was in a medical journal, therefore it must be so, things like that, until I started reading a little bit more, and I said, wait a second, I see how this survey is done, and this is not the right way to do a survey. In fact, I took a job one time for a week many years ago with the L.A. Times poll just so I could see how they did their surveys. So happened they did their surveys the right way to do the surveys, but a lot of other places don't. So now when I read things or I see things on TV like this is not a scientific survey, I know exactly why it's not a scientific survey. But unfortunately, a lot of people skip that, and they go, oh, look. And
Dan Brown coming out with this, this novel, the Da Vinci Code, and the Catholic Church saying that's not true, and he's going, I know it's a novel.
Well, if you say up front, look, this is a novel, this is an idea, that's a lot different from saying this is the truth.
Yeah, but you get what I'm saying.
Well,
do you get what I'm saying? That the Catholic Church is saying, look, this is not true. They're telling people as if people don't know what a novel is. This, because the Catholic Church is going, now don't go believing that. You know, it's like, and by the way, the Pope said, there is no James Bond either, you know?
I'm always interested when the religions change what they believe. For example, the Mormons at one time, blacks couldn't go into the inner sanctums, now they can. Because the head Mormon guy, who was about 88 at the time, said he had a revelation from God that it was okay.
Mm-hmm.
Catholics now, babies are now in limbo. They're in another place that they used to be somewhere else, and that's been changed. So I find it interesting that the people believe one thing, and then when it's convenient, they switch to something else. I'd rather say, look, what's the evidence for this? Let me investigate this evidence. How is this evidence done? And then I can decide what to believe. And if new evidence comes to change that, I'll change my opinion.
It's a whole new interpretation of.
I got into a lot of this by when I was doing my I did a horse racing newsletter for 7 years.
Right.
And a lot of what I did was investigate these surefire systems. What I did is I would get a copy of the system, I would send it out for testing to somebody with gigantic databases involving, you know, thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of races over the years, and say, what if you use this system on all these races? And so we tested about 35 of these commercial systems, all of which claimed, oh, you make all this money and you'll do this. Not a single one of them lived up to the claims.
Mm.
It didn't matter whether it was published by a large system mill or whether it was a sincere guy in his basement or some famous author. None of them lived up to the claims. And then when you look at other things, you find that a lot of what people say is what they want to be true because maybe they want to make money out of it. They want to sell things. They want to move dollars into their pockets, so they'll tell you things.
But
whether things are true or not, I don't know. That's why I'm a big fan of research and and determining whether something's accurate or not.
Okay, but there's a pivotal point in this conversation coming up right after I tell everyone they're listening to Cotolo Chronicles. We're talking with Barry Meadow, who is a mathematician, because that involves that you're a master of probabilities. You're the professor of probabilities.
I do math every day, betting on the horses.
You do math. Math. Is that different than advanced math?
Well, I'll put it this way. In high school, I was put into the most advanced math class we had in the high school,
and the
concepts were so far beyond what I can understand, I never took another math class after that.
Yeah, I know, but I know I've seen you, because I've been with you at the racetrack, and you can read, you could do like six things at a time, and calculate in your head stuff that I can't do it with months. I have to work an entirely, we have to know the kind of machine we are in order to be able to perform at our best, correct?
Everybody's brains work in different way, and not everybody is good at everything. So I think it's very important to know what you can do and what you can't do. And if you can't do something, either try to learn how to do it or just say, you know what, it's not my thing. Call the guy to get it fixed.
So here on Cotolo Chronicles, we're talking to Barry Meadow, who knows how to do that. And he's also, I'll tell you what I know he knows how to do, and that is to fit into pants that are fine, that you never go away and never shorten my pants again. At the shortstop.com here in Cotolo Chronicles. Here's the question now. Here's the pivotal part of this. There are people who they perform and propagate, if that's the word, the particular things like The Secret and stuff like that. What's the difference, and how do you know the people who actually believe it, really, maybe it doesn't make a difference, the people who actually believe this stuff, and the people who are doing it knowingly as they're charlatans. In other words, this Rhonda lady, look, this lady, this Athena star that I had on the show, I don't think for a second she sits back and goes, I got everybody fooled. I think that she really believes she walked into a portal, a time portal, in the Escondido Hotel or wherever it was, which is bizarre to me. But I don't think she's a charlatan. I mean, do you see what I'm saying? People who sell snake oil know it's snake oil, right?
I would think a lot of these people that are selling their concepts, whatever the concepts are, really believe in what they're selling.
Right.
They don't consider it as any kind of charlatan, I'm fooling people, I'm tricking people. I think they really believe it. But we believe a lot of things which may not be true.
And so these people fall into the category of, and this is why, of the masses who do want to believe all this stuff. And that's why there were X amount of people ready to drink Kool-Aid laced with the arsenic, right?
Is there a problem with that?
Only if it's done at Disneyland, I guess. When it's done in a strange place somewhere. No, but I mean, there are people, the masses, they've been saying it forever, right? The masses are asses. Isn't that what that's all about?
I think people basically are followers. They want somebody to tell them, look, this is how to think.
Mm-hmm.
This is what to do. This is how to behave. They don't want to think for themselves because it's too risky and dangerous. For example, let's say I'm living in a small town, and there's 200 people in the town. It's very, very tiny. And everybody in that town is a Democrat. Except for me, I'm a Republican. Now, for me to go around saying, oh, you know, these Democrats are idiots, Bush is the greatest, nobody's going to like me. They're all going to say, what's wrong with you? But by going along and say, oh, yeah, I'm a Democrat, too, to get along, people like to go along because it's a lot easier than challenging. Because challenging involves thinking, and people don't want to think because it's uncomfortable because you might have to change the way you think about something.
Okay, now, unlike Ayn Rand, who managed to sell a number of books under the guise that we are individuals and think for ourselves, what you're saying is pejorative to the human race, isn't it?
Well, sure. I agree with George Carlin. Why are any of us here? We're a bunch of idiots. However, it doesn't mean that we have to stay idiots. We can learn. We can improve. And the fact that maybe in this particular area some of us are not quite as adept as we should be doesn't mean we can't be kind to other people, doesn't mean we can't do things for other people, doesn't mean we can't be generous and friendly and wonderful in a million other ways. So I don't think you have to...
You
have to have a certain set of beliefs to have a good life.
Well, wait a second. I think I agree with you, and I think a lot of people would agree with you, except the stigma of what you're talking about is negativity. Because that's what most people if the majority believes one thing and you don't, just like you said, in that town of all Democrats and vice versa, what have you, the first person to put their head up in the crowd is the person who gets shot, right? So Barry Meadow is what everyone is saying. Oh, Barry, he's just this negative guy. You know, he's got to prove everything. In other words, they're going to judge you no matter how good you are. So there's a stigma involved in not being a member of that crowd, right?
Well, it's kind of like, let's say I'm working for a company that I know is doing something wrong and I decide to become a whistleblower. How popular do you think I'm going to be in that with all the people that work in that company? Not very. It's like, hey, we're making a living here. Why do you have to go out and stir up all this trouble? Why can't you just shut up? Because certain things are right and certain things are wrong. Now, if somebody wants to believe something, I don't go up to their door and say, why are you believing the way you believe? Unlike, for example, missionaries might knock on my door and say, why do I believe the way I want? I think people should be allowed to believe what they want. But I think if they're educated, they'll make better decisions.
These are gigantic ifs, and I don't mean to be the devil's advocate here, but let's face it. You said we can get better if only we. But that's not human nature, though. I mean, in other words, if you don't make it your business to go to these people who believe in what you consider all this nonsense, if you don't do that, no one's going to. So how is it going to get better?
I think through education and for people reading, for people trying to learn things. I mean, we have the internet, which is an incredible resource for things. For example, let's say I hear about a new cure for something. I can go to a site like quackwatch.com and see if there's anything written about it. Were there any surveys done on that thing? Are there any negatives about it? I don't have to just believe the claims of the guy that's selling me something. For example, there's a guy named Kevin Trudeau. He's got a book called The Weight Loss Cure They Don't Want You to Know About, which is his latest bestseller.
Oh, yes, I've seen that. Yeah, books. I've seen that, yeah.
Now, Kevin Trudeau, well, a lot of people don't know, signed a consent form with the FTC back in 2004 saying that he could not make any disease or health benefit claims for any type of product in any kind of advertising. And he agreed to the prohibitions and to pay the FTC $2 million to settle charges that he falsely claimed certain things. Here he is back bigger than life. So you can investigate things. When you hear about a new fantastic cure for thing or a new, why not just look at what other people have said about it, people that are not selling it to you. And that's how you learn things.
This is great advice, but I guess what I'm saying is, the advice, look, the people are there. You said it yourself. There are these great books about this stuff. So do you really have hope and faith that this is going to turn itself around? Is that what you're saying?
I do. I have faith that the Internet's a wonderful tool for people to become educated. If you want to learn about things, it's a lot easier now than it used to be. You don't have to go to a dusty library somewhere and try to look up a book, which may not even be there anyway. Now you can find out about things very, very quickly and accurately. And I think the more educated we become, the less likely we are to believe a lot of nonsense.
Okay, but that's going to be a judgment call, isn't it? I mean, we have the Internet, and we still have The Secret being a number one book here. So what are you saying? All those people don't have the Internet?
No, I think that
the secret
fulfills a need people have. And as long as there are people willing to fulfill the needs, for example, we want to be loved. We want to feel like we have some kind of power over our life. We want to have money. We want to have health. There are certain things that we want in life. And if somebody comes along promising to provide these things to us, particularly if it doesn't involve a lot of work on our part, boy, we're sure ready to listen to this message.
And getting smarter is going to reduce that need? Is going to eliminate that need, do you think?
Well, I think if you've got a need for something, it's best to figure out the real way to solve that. Let's say, for example, I have a need for good health. The fact that somebody's selling me some unproven potion is not going to help my health. I'm better off going to somebody who has an actual degree, who's had a lot of experience looking at these things, who has machines that can measure what's in my body, and listening to him or her rather than a guy who's going to sell me a potion. So, yes, I can get my needs met by doing some due diligence.
All right, but that's, you're having a lot of faith in people. That, well, I guess if we look at it like this, if we look at it, I mean, a number, so many things have gone by the, that people believed, of course, as civilization grew, have gone by the wayside, right? I mean, there were times when we thought tons of things. That, well, even as science thought things.
We used to think the Earth is flat. We used to think
that
the sun revolves around the Earth. And if you believe certain things at certain times in history, you could be put into prison and maybe even killed. Luckily, there's not quite as much of that around, but as the instruments get better, as ways to measure things better, we can find out what is true, and we can keep changing our beliefs using the best evidence available, rather than simply believe something because a lot of people think it's true. Popularity doesn't make something good. I mean, McDonald's sells millions of hamburgers. That doesn't mean it's the best food to eat.
Mm-hmm.
So popularity is not any kind of judge whether something is of value or not.
But intelligence will eradicate that which is not good. Am I following this correctly? I mean, there'll be, in other words, if everybody said tomorrow looked up and said, look, this McDonald's stuff is really garbage. And there goes McDonald's. And everybody just stopped going to McDonald's. There goes McDonald's.
Well, I don't think there's a lot of danger of that because McDonald's fills certain needs. People want...
That's what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about these needs, Bob. When we say if you have faith in, that the human spirit is going to raise itself up to the point where it becomes intelligent enough to be able to investigate all this stuff and then do the right thing, you're talking about no religion, no... I mean, we're talking about getting to a point where there's just not going to be anything. I mean, are we going to get to the point where all of this, where religion is a minority, where all this stuff... All these belief-based thoughts, sciences, or whatever, cultures, pop cultures, all this stuff is a minority? Because it's the majority now.
Well, it's certainly the majority now. That doesn't mean it's going to be the majority for all time.
Well, that's what I'm asking you. I mean, you think that before it sucks in everything, mankind, should they still exist, should it still exist, would have risen to where it uses more than 3% of its brain, and then everybody can sit down and say, hey, remember when we used to believe in the guy that walked on the water? Oh, my God, what were we thinking? I mean, you think that's going to happen? You believe, is that a belief of yours?
I think that could happen, but, of course, I don't know that
for sure.
What are the
odds?
It's one of those time-will-tell situations. I mean, the fact that you can tell people, look, I think this, you think that. We can have different opinions on things, and that's fine. You might like a certain movie or a certain song, and I don't like it. There's no right or wrong when it comes to those kind of opinions. But there are right or wrong as far as how certain things work. And
well, that's what I mean about human nature. I always tell this story. I always tell this story. And maybe, I don't know if this is just from growing up in New York, but I always tell this story, and I think it really has a pertinent application to human nature. Two guys go to Nathan's, and one guy gets, they both get hot dogs. One guy reaches for the mustard, like everybody does, and puts the mustard on and gets it, and the other guy reaches for the ketchup, and he puts ketchup on it. And the guy who put the mustard on turns to the guy and he goes, what are you, some kind of a jerk? What are you, a dope? Wait, who puts ketchup on a hot dog? You put mustard on a hot dog. That's stupid. And what the guy is hearing, the guy who puts the ketchup, is hearing, you're stupid. You're worthless. You're a pig. You're no good, right? And in other words, he's taking something incredibly personal that shouldn't be taken personal. And he has to defend the fact that he has to put ketchup on it, right? So here they are, fisticuffs, over taking something very personal. So if you're going to talk to a Jehovah's Witness, and you're gonna tell him, look, you can believe what you believe, and I can believe what I believe, but the point is, you're wrong.
Well, you have to realize every religion feels every other religion is wrong.
Well, I know. How did that happen?
The Shias think the Sunnis are wrong. The Catholics think the Protestants are wrong.
So what I'm saying is this is basic human nature. I'm telling them, you're putting, I mean, they take it, is what I'm saying. Human nature is to take it personal. It's not to say. You're saying something that is a high level of spirituality in itself, and that is, look, you believe what you believe. I believe what I believe, and we can still go on the roller coaster and have fun, okay?
Right.
And I'm saying, like, No, it's not going to work. It's not going to happen. You believe what I believe and I believe what you believe. Because it's not. Because I know you're wrong deep down inside. And if you tell me I'm wrong and we start talking about it, I'm going to take it personal. That's what I'm saying. That's
well, there's a lot of other areas that people can agree, even if they might disagree on certain other concepts. And I think usually we get along better with people the more similar we are to them and the more things we find in common.
Do you really think that? I mean,
yeah.
Is that? Yeah? Okay. I don't know. I think the jury's out on that one.
When is the jury coming in?
The jury comes in every time it has to prove something. No, every time it agrees on something, it comes in, and then it says, well, you're right, and you're... No, it actually doesn't say you're right. It judges. And that judgment is not based on... it's kind of based on fact, I guess, isn't it? What is it? Have you ever been a member... I've never been a member of a jury.
Yes, I have.
I know you have.
I was a member of the O.J. Simpson jury.
No, you weren't.
No, I wasn't. But I've been on juries, and juries try to listen to all the evidence and evaluate whether... what actually happened.
Remember
but
the scene
in... They're getting testimony. Sometimes they're getting pictures. They're getting a decent picture of what happened, even though it's secondhand. That's better than nothing. However, more and more, I think, there's going to be cameras everywhere. And as there is in London and as there are cameras in New York on all the big streets, that's going to solve a lot of problems. Just like DNA evidence now can solve a lot of crimes if it weren't so expensive to run these tests all the time. So we're getting closer to the point that we can actually start proving something and less what people's opinions are about things.
When the one thing I love about when Larry Gelbart wrote "Oh God," the great climax in that is that no matter what happened, God did have to show up. I mean, even though they couldn't explain what happened, to finish that book or that story and just have John Denver's character there saying, you need to have faith in this, that, and the other thing, didn't work. It wouldn't work, right? Because they would just, but, so they had to make the character show up, the character of God, to do some crazy things. And that in itself was the idea that the proof needs to be there. So the jury is out. When the jury comes in, they have evaluated what they have seen, heard, touched, thought, right? I mean, all the facts.
Right.
So you're saying, well, when people are more comfortable, because man is a herd animal, that's the problem, and it's also could be the solution, and it could be the problem, because if you did everything good together, then of course everything would be good.
Well, when you turn on your television, you see stories about Lindsay Lohan and Paris Hilton. I don't think you couldn't find one person in 1,000 that could even name one single scientist in the United States. So we're not exactly educating people through TV, which is the biggest medium we have.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in schools, this is normally not a subject that comes up. People try to steer clear of this kind of thing because it's controversial. If I say, well, these people believe so-and-so, gee, my family believes so-and-so. You're saying my family is wrong? I mean, what's wrong with us? So we normally try to steer clear of people having to think about things. Instead, we like to be entertained.
I don't disagree with that at all. But you're talking about all the things that don't make it possible that the stuff that you're saying, you have your faith in the human race is going to learn more, and therefore because they learn more and use their brain more, because we do things differently, we're not going to be sucked in by those needs that are satisfied by falsehoods. That's what our needs are. I mean, when right?
Well, let's say I have a lot of hope without much evidence for that hope. There's a website we all know what infomercials are.
Right.
And they try to get us to buy us things, and sometimes the things are pretty good, and sometimes the things are not so good. But there are a lot of scams out. There's actually a website just devoted to infomercial scams. There's a website that are devoted to medical scams. So the information's out there to see what works and what doesn't work. And it's just a question of people having to say, look, my friend told me this thing. Instead of believing my friend who may not have the information, let me see what I could find out on my own. Most of us, though, are kind of lazy. It requires actual work to try to find out what works and what doesn't work and if something is true or not true. If I can make claims and I don't have to prove it, boy, I can tell you almost anything, can't I? Let me just figure out what your weak spots are and what you need, and I'll be able to do it. Let's say I could tell you a pill that's going to guarantee you love. You'll buy that pill, won't you?
Yes.
And so I have to figure out how I can come up with such a pill. And I'm working on that right now, in fact.
Are you really?
Yeah. Yeah, if I can come up with that, boy, I'll have a lot of cash, won't I?
You're talking about the success of such scams based on the needs of people. At the same time, we're talking about this incredible, about the information superhighway, about the ability to be able to find out things. What is going to make people say, I'm now God, or whatever. I'm just going to look at this stuff. I'm just going to look and find out. I don't want to. I think maybe they're wrong. Well, in other words, I think second guessing is one of the brilliant maneuvers that a person can do, and yet so few people second guess, and that's what makes them not investigate. Someone tells you something, and you go, "Is that so?"
Well, you know, there's still an incredible amount of wonder in the world that you don't have to look at falsely. I was up in Griffith Observatory a few weeks ago at night. I looked through a telescope, and I'm seeing other planets. There's an amazing, a lot of amazing things in this world that are true that you can believe. You don't have to come up with crazy stuff to believe.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm trying to play devil's advocate here because maybe I'm the one who's being negative and maybe you're being positive because I don't see any hope for mankind being able to where the majority sits back and says some of the things we're saying. I think this is the minority, and how can it turn over? I don't see how it can turn over.
Well, people's beliefs do change over time. In other words, right now people realize you have to have clean water to have a healthy city. Years ago, people didn't realize there was any kind of connection. They had to get educated. They had to learn that's the way it worked. They had to learn that planets revolve around the sun, which they didn't know before. And now people kind of take this as, oh, yeah, now we see. We look at the instruments and we can see it. So I think it's a matter of educating people. And I think when you do that and you say to people, hey, just think of something in a different way, and you might come up with a different conclusion, that's already some progress. It's don't believe everything anybody tells you, including me.
Mm-hmm.
Demand evidence for what I say. If I say a certain thing works, ask me how I know that.
How do you know that anyway? is there not a thing? I mean, every day of your life, being in this frame of mind, and I mean, I do this also, but I'm talking to you now. Every day of your life, something comes up, and do you look into it?
Well, it depends what it is. If I think it might be important,
yeah.
Yes. If I think it's not all that important, or it's, let's say somebody believes something. I don't want to spend 2 hours trying to debunk them of their opinion or even, argue with them.
Mm-hmm.
Because people don't want to be argued with. They don't want to change their beliefs. But if somebody, let's say, is trying to sell me something, let me figure out how do I know that claim is true or not. That I will do.
Do you think people, do you believe in, I think using this word now, believe, self-fulfilling prophecies? I mean, can somebody think so? I mean, if somebody can't think positively, as you're saying, I can't, and then just become rich based on that, or affirmations. But, and yet, can somebody self-prophesize their own demise by thinking negatively?
Well, people don't normally want to hang around negative people. We all like, when we describe somebody we've just met, oh, they always have a good attitude, they're always happy to... Whereas if somebody that we just met, oh, they're always complaining, they're always negative. We don't like to hang around negative people. We want to hang around people that are positive and in a good mode. That's different from if I just simply affirm stuff, therefore stuff is going to be true. But of course, there's nothing really wrong with positive thinking. It's just that, if that's all you think you have to do, you're sadly mistaken. It's nice to start positive. Let's say I'm a general. Yes, I'm going to go invade that country and take it over, and our side's going to win. Well, that's great to really be positive, and we think God's on our side, and we're the good guys and all that. But let's figure out some actual plan to make this happen. That's the hard work, not just the thinking about it.
That's one of the reasons I didn't invade Poland. personally.
That's one of the reasons what?
I didn't invade Poland, personally. You wake up in the morning and say, here's an example for you. Suppose you say to yourself, I immediately knew the odds were against me. So I didn't have to do much research for that.
Well, you're smarter than some people. I mean, you know something about sacred harp singing.
Sacred harp singing is, oh man, it is fabulously strange.
I mean, do the harps themselves sing in a sacred way? How
no.
does that work?
I think it has to do, and I will find out when Shannon's on the program, I think it has to do with the sound. It's all a cappella, and it's a bunch of people singing, and it has something to do with, I think they use the term harp. I'm not sure. We'll find out more about it. But
I
heard
get a cappella mixed up with Al Capone. They sound so similar.
Well, that was his son. And
Al
Capone
was
a
gangster.
That was his son.
I get confused a lot. That's why I got to go use the internet and look stuff up.
They have a festival around here where I live, and it's called the Capona, K-A-P-O-N-A festival. And I'm always saying, I always say to people, I say, how come here in Pennsylvania they name this thing after this famous gangster? And they just look at me and they go, what? It's hard to even make a good pun these days. These are the very people who, you know, who I say, meanwhile, I have, there's the negative. I just want to go over the negative thing here again for a second. People don't want to hear negative things because they don't want to think negative things. Is that correct?
I think so. We've all known people that all they do is complain. They kind of bring us down. We don't really want to hang around with them. We'd rather hang around with, hey, let's solve this thing. Let's figure out how to do this. This is great.
No. Wait a second. That would be somebody whose action, not somebody who's as the old expression is blowing sunshine up your ass. Because there's nothing when you blow sunshine up someone's ass, you're really not giving any proof for anything. You're just being happy and stuff like that. That's what those are. Oh, he's always happy. He's always fine. That's the guy who, you know, that's the guy who they say like, oh, he did what? You know, he killed his family. Remember that guy in Michigan who killed his family? Everybody
but
in the Navy.
See, he was in a good mood when he did it, and that's the important thing.
No, I'm sorry, he didn't kill his
family. He was positive he was going to kill his family.
No, it wasn't. He didn't kill his family. He was killing other families. He was killing people in other families. And then they were saying he was a wonderful guy, and he was great to be with. You know. And here's what I didn't understand. I recently brought this up to a religious leader, and he laughed. And I guess it is funny, but in a sense it's true, too. And that is this. The same people. Oh, hold on one second, okay? I just hold on. Don't go away.
Yes.
I'm just having a short, I'm having a live connection problem here. Hold on. I have to just do one thing. Don't go away. I have to reboot my modem. You ever do that?
Well, get the crack.
Talk for a second.
You have to do it.
I have, yeah, right. Get cracked, all right. Hold on. I'm going to get back online here in a second so that we're live again. Here's the deal. I said to somebody, I said, now, wait a second. The same person who believes in biblical stuff, which is, you know, I mean, by any stretch of the imagination, there's plenty of stuff there that's questionable, right? Okay? This same person I asked about would say and has said when talking about, like, Son of Sam, right? Let's say that kid. Remember him, David Berkowitz?
The Son of Sam, his dog told him to kill people.
Right. Now, think about this for a second. The same person who believes that Moses went to the mountain, talked to God, came down with tablets, that was the deal. That same person turns around and goes, did you ever hear of anything so stupid? A guy... The devil is talking to the guy's dog, and the dog is telling the guy to kill people because it's the devil. These are the same people who believe in the devil. I don't get it. Do you
well,
see
what
that?
I know is when the devil talks to people or God talks to people, well, how come they don't say, why do they always say, go kill somebody or something? Why do they say stuff like, why don't you go wash the dishes or something like that?
Yeah.
Something simple. It's always some kind of evil message, destroy people.
Oh, the devil? Well,
yeah.
Because that even lives up. That even lives up. To how they believe the devil. What I don't understand is how could they think David Berkowitz is nuts if they believe that the guy was a snake in a garden where there were only two people and that was only 6,000 years ago and that's how man began. You see what I'm saying? And then I heard some other guy, I asked this guy, this guy who was this evangelist who was in the neighborhood. He said to me, he said he was talking about the Garden of Eden, and not as an allegory or as a metaphor or as a metaphoric allegory or an allegoric metaphor. He was talking about it as the truth. And he said, God, he starts off by saying that God is, you know, is all-knowing, all-seeing. He creates everybody. He creates the man. He creates the woman. Man creates the woman from the man, okay? And then suddenly the woman goes and he just says, don't go near the garden. And the lady, and the woman goes and she eats the apple and gives it to him. Suddenly they see shame and they put stuff on, fig leaves on. And then he says, and as he's telling the story, he goes, the next day, I said, God comes and he sees Eve with the fig leaf on. And he goes, uh-oh. You found out. You must have eaten something. Where's Adam? And I'm saying to him, I thought this was God. How can he know where Adam? Adam knows a place to hide from God? Adam goes somewhere and hides because he knows where God can't find him. And yet this is the all-seeing. And God didn't know. I guess what I'm saying is here. Now, I am bringing up to this person who believes something, everything, these are normal questions. I'm not telling the guy he's a nut. I'm not telling him he shouldn't believe this stuff. I'm asking simple questions. If you tell me this, then why doesn't this take place, right?
Absolutely.
So I'm saying to him, you mean Adam knew a place to go where God wouldn't find him? This the Almighty God of everything who made everything, but he couldn't find Adam? Why? Why did he ask Eve where Adam was? It sounds ridiculous to me.
Well,
apparently you don't have faith in. No, I mean, it's like, you right. know, it's like it's running off, and I'm going, why can't I am not out there? I'm not calling these people liars or... I'm not saying anything. I'm just asking common questions, and I don't get any answers.
Let's see, if a Martian came down, they would think the whole thing is pretty crazy. I'm trying to figure out Noah's Ark, how they got all the animals onto the Ark, because I can't even get my dog to roll over. I mean, this is an incredible work that was being done.
Absolutely. It's remarkable to think that stuff... And yet, if you ask the simplest questions... to these people, they refuse to give you answers, and they say that you're just probably one of those, you're one of those troublemakers. This is the Word of God. You believe it or you don't. And I'm going like, well, what's that mean? These people, Barry, whether you find the berries or not, I love that. Berries, I think, is a great, that's a great, you got to write that book. Berries. And that won't sell. You still there?
Yes, I'm listening, Frank. All right.
Yeah, it was good old Barry. It's amazing how over the years our conversations don't change their format. You know about something and then right into jokes and whatever have you. The book is The Secret, and it's no secret. It's and now there's a if you don't want to read it, and I don't think you should waste time doing it, but that's my opinion. Why don't you find the documentary? Everybody's got Netflix now, don't they? My name is Frank Cotullo, the man whose name adorns the title of this show. We hope to be back next week, and perhaps our mystery guest will be here. That's hard to tell. We'll see what goes on when it goes on. In the meantime, good night, Mrs. Ernstweil, wherever you may be located. I think I've said plenty. How about you? You have too. Have you heard plenty? Good, because I have nothing more to say.